is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Chicago Lang is brought to you by the Bahamas Liquidation Center, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Doctors Hospital, Dunkin' Donuts, the Fincastle Media Group, Grand Bahama News, Janae's Uniform Center, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful. What day is it today now? Is it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday? It's beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I've been jet setting. I'm sorry. But so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. That's 325-4316. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us today on 416-0433. Bahamas, Channel 9. That's the way my listen to the show is on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So sorry about the tardiness today. It's the government proposes to purchase an aircraft for $2.5 million, or they allocated $2.5 million in the upcoming budget for the purchase of an aircraft. It doesn't mean the aircraft is going to cost $2.5 million. You know, it could cost more, it could cost less. What we know is that a sum of $2.5 million has been allocated in the upcoming budget for that purpose. That has generated some conversations and discussions around the place. And, you know, I love to take these occasions as an opportunity for our understanding, if we can, some things about the way we do our business. And so I wanted to start there. Right. Firstly, can I say that we did not learn of this because it was announced by any minister during budget debate. Think about that for a moment. Budget debate, you are speaking to the expenditure of funds allocated for you in the budget. That's what the budget debate is for. You are announcing new spending, why you're doing those things. You are purchasing an aircraft as a government in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. One would think that's an announcement needing to be made, that you would make that announcement, but that announcement was not made. It came up in the head-to-head as the opposition was raising questions about particular items of expenditure, okay? So that's the first thing that, and this continues to haunt administrations of the Bahamas, in particular this particular one, where what might be regarded as material things aren't put forward by the administration at first. They just somehow dribble into the public domain. And that's not good. It's not that they were hiding it because it was in the budget. I mean, in this climate, in this environment, you want to announce, you know, we intend to purchase a plane, right? You allocate $2.5 million for it. And so there was no announcement to that effect. And now you see what's happening, right? Now you see this bleeding of discussion and controversy, as some people like to say, around it. That's the first thing. The second thing is that when the question was raised in seeking to understand the details around that, again, we'll get back to you. Now, you put $2.5 million in the budget and you think you have at least a sufficient in the bid. It'll just show you there. Here is what we intend to do. Here's what we intend to do. And no, it doesn't do. It doesn't do. Doesn't lend to people's confidence that, you know, you're doing it, things the right thing or things the right way sometimes when you're in government. That's the second thing. Now, some people have asked, you know, does this make sense? Why spend this money now? You know, we have so many things going on. Why the government needs to have a private jet? You know, how is this going to be able to accommodate all the traveling that the government needs to do? What's the number of seats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? All fairly reasonable questions to ask and what have you. The basic question is, is this a good idea or is this a bad idea? The problem is, unless you set up a criteria for judging an idea, it's hard to say whether it's a good idea or not. I mean, you could opine on whether you think it's a good idea or not. But generally speaking, we should have a framework for determining, is this a good idea or not? And if you want to know if it's a good idea or not, first question is, why? Why are you purchasing the plane? You say, well, but that's obvious. They want to fly from here to there in the plane. No, that's not the only why. See, a government can have a number of reasons or a set of reasons for wanting to buy a plane. One is there a safety threat to officials who have to travel? If there's a safety threat to officials traveling public crafts, et cetera, purchasing security, there's a part of it. Is the rationale totally different things? Cost saving issue, then you now want to know, okay, what is the existing cost compared to the cost that will occur when you purchase this aircraft? And if the cost comparison plays itself out nicely, then you say, okay, fine, that makes sense. But you don't have that information now, right? So you say, well, how would you determine the cost considerations for an airplane? Well, there are many things that you have to take into consideration, right? Which is one of which is, so you purchase an airplane, let's say you purchase it for $2.5 million. right? Okay. So now we can look, ask the question, how long do you appreciate an aircraft for, an airplane? So you appreciate. So you take that capital investment, $12 million, and you appreciate that over 10 to 12 years. If you do 10 years, you're talking about allocating $250,000 to that aircraft a year. So we can at least expense the initial capital investment over 10 years, 12 years at $200,000 to $250,000. Then you have the maintenance consideration for the aircraft, right? And so you can ask yourself, how much is maintenance for an aircraft, right? For sure, but maybe 5% or 10%, and then you now have to allocate that percentage to your annual cost, and 10%, maybe a little less, or depend on the profit, as I said before. But you then allocate that cost. So let's say the maintenance cost of a $2.5 million aircraft is $12,500, $15,000. Then you allocate that and so forth. Then there's the cost of the pilots, and then there's the cost of and all these other kinds of things that creep in. So if you take that and you compare it to when the government shifts from using public transportation to using private transportation, is there a savings? And that should be easy to get, because you can go to Treasury and see what that looks like, has looked like for several years, and then you can make that comparison. So if cost is an issue, you lay all of that out, and you can say to people, here's why we justify this as a cost-efficient choice versus something else that we are doing, right? So you have to know whether that's the case. Is it a convenience issue? Many times when we need to travel, we have to wait on the scheduled timing of the available airlines in the country, or we have to charter a flight that then places a cost consideration on the public that we find exorbitant. Well, now you have to then now justify that to show, you have to go here, then you have to, and our minister has to go to Managua, but doesn't want to overnight there. Really, the scheduled flights don't allow him to do that with any kind of effectiveness and so forth and so forth. And so now this is how you are justifying the need to buy an aircraft. So again, it could be a convenience issue. Right? We don't know. Wasn't said. This is why. These are the reasons why. Just we can fly, we need to fly to Family Islands. That's not a reason. Because you can fly to Family Islands on Bahamas Air and other things. The other thing is, are there alternatives to doing it this way? For instance, why purchase an aircraft by the government instead of purchasing an aircraft for Bahamas Air, and to travel government, other circumstances, because you now each the has the pilot for so this to after the government spends on travel through Bahamas. Why not do it that way? Why go this route? Let Bahamas buy the aircraft and so forth and so forth. By the way, folks, this isn't the first time we broached this issue in the country. The Bahamas used to have an aircraft. Remember when England came to office in 92, there was an aircraft that was purchased, a jet that was purchased by the Pinding administration that was available for carrying Mr. Pinding and others across the country, and it was manned by the defense force or the police force or the one or the other, and so forth. And so they used to use that. Also, when Ingram and others needed to travel from time to time, they would use crafts that were available to the defense force and the police force to be able to do so, if I'm not mistaken. So this isn't new territory for us. What is new? We haven't done it in recent times. And what is new is that it is once again something coming into the public domain that is not, okay, someone says I'm going in. No, folks, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about, I don't know what's going on in Freeport and Grand Bahama with BPC and them or here or whatever's technically happening. I really don't know. And I can't do anything about it. I really can't. And so if we are having the kind of technical difficulty that makes it difficult for people to hear, then maybe we need to try something else. But there's nothing I could do. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to C-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
The car, the lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Happy Independence, Bahamas! Let's celebrate 50 plus 1 together with a unique Janae's Uniform Center Independence print, dry fit polo or t-shirts, ribbons and pull bows in black, gold, and aquamarine. Janae's special family package includes buy 2 adults and 3 children Independence polos or t-shirts and get 15% off. Outfit your staff for a special Independence dress of week or day with a different design. For more than 30 pieces of Janae's Independence polos or t-shirts, get up to 25% discount. Janae's Uniform Center Chesapeake Road Independence Selections. Choose your favorite and celebrate 50 plus 1. Restrictions apply.
We all know that our country's electricity infrastructure is decades old. It is breaking down, it is too expensive, and it cannot transmit clean energy. Small changes aren't enough. We are taking it all on. Upgrading and modernizing the grid. Solar power. Major energy reform. That's how we get to lower prices and more reliable electricity. It will not happen overnight, but it will be aging.
Go to newenergyera.gov.bs to learn more.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back.
back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. I hope that this is better and that we can get this done. What I was saying was I thought important, and I don't know how much you missed. But we were talking about the government's aircraft purchase. I am not one of those people who is prepared to say, oh, that's a good idea, or prepared to say, that's a great idea. How the heck can you know if you don't have the details whether it's a good idea? How can you know whether it's a great idea or a bad idea unless you know what the objective is? What's the nuisance the government is trying to alleviate by purchasing an aircraft? Because that's the only reason why you would do something in public affairs is to address some nuisance. Is the nuisance security, safety for public officials? Is the nuisance cost? Is the nuisance convenience in scheduling travel? Or some combination thereof. And until you get an analysis of those things that says, you know what, if you look at the cost, if cost is the issue, we do come out ahead. If you look at the security concerns, well, here's what the police are saying, here's what others are saying, and here's how that alleviates the security concerns, then unless you have those details, you really don't know. You can't just say, oh, because let me tell you what happens, right? Frankly, it's not good that this bled into the public sphere as opposed to being informed, being announced. Right? Let's announce that we're going to purchase an aircraft, and here are the reasons why we're going to purchase. But that wasn't what happened. So here's what happens. Bahamians say, oh, they're coming buying an aircraft. And the minute they think, because Bahamians generally, a lot of Bahamians do not think highly of politicians. They do not think highly of the government. They always think, many of them think you're doing something wrong all the time. You're just trying to fix yourself and your family and your lovers up and stuff like that. Many think that way. And government needs to be aware of that, needs to know that is the case and try to change that mindset that people have by the way it behaves. So the minute you hear the government is purchasing an aircraft, they think here's these elite, hoity-toity, full of themselves people trying to get themselves a life in this world. And that could be the furthest thing from the truth. Right? So I'm not somebody who's going to hop on that bandwagon and say, oh, that's a terrible idea, just because the government is deciding to purchase an aircraft, or that it's a great idea, because, oh, it gives the government a chance to move and fly up and down. No, it could be a terrible idea for many reasons, and it could be a great idea for many reasons, but we need to have the reasons. We need to have the details to be able to know that. Okay? The one thing I say is, why would the government purchase an aircraft itself directly? Why not purchase an aircraft available to yourself through Bahamas Air? Right? Then you could expense your travel through Bahamas Air, that goes to Bahamas Air revenue and bottom line. Bahamas Air already has the technical capacity to manage craft, and that craft could also be available for other purposes when not in use by government. Why not do that? Depending on the craft, though. Now, I did some looking. What could you buy for $2.5 million? What plane can you buy for $2.5 million? All the searching I did, the largest number of seats you could purchase is a 7-seater. That's what I said. I'm not saying in a 10 or 20 out there. I said the largest I saw was a 7-seater. Most of the others were between 3 and 5 seaters. You could purchase for $2.5 million. Right? 7-seater. Who's traveling? What does this mean? That means that if the Minister of Foreign Affairs wants to travel to Exuma, he calls up the plane and goes, boom. Or the Minister of Public Works or the Minister of Immigration or the Prime Minister, how does that work? Now you have a scheduling issue. Now you have to have staffing around a port, a bought aircraft for the government. Or is it bought for the Prime Minister and the Prime Minister's office? Who is it bought for? See, all these things matter to both the cost the operation and the logistics of the aircraft. You don't know any of that, so commenting is shooting in the blind. Shooting blind, right? We don't know. We don't know. They might have all these details worked out. The details have just not come this way. So is it a good idea? I don't know. I don't know. Other governments own aircraft. Many other governments own aircraft. Is it something working out for them? I really don't know. That's another thing you could do. You could tap the experience of other governments in operating an aircraft. I don't know. But what I do know is decisions like these in the environment we're in should not be bled into the public sphere indirectly. They shouldn't be. They should be announced by the government. And during the course of the budget debate, did anybody here, minister, say, we intend to purchase an aircraft? Why? Why would you do that? Why would the government do that? You have a line item for the purchase of an aircraft in your budget. You are having a budget debate. You're supposed to be explaining the details of your expenditure proposed for the upcoming budget year, and you don't mention, I'm going to purchase an aircraft. It doesn't help. It doesn't help with transparency. It doesn't help with accountability. Mind you, they weren't hiding anything because it's in the budget. So you can't say the government was hiding anything. They laid a budget document before the parliament, and it was picked up by the opposition. So it's clearly what's in the document. But again, now it sounds like you didn't really want to say, so the opposition had to tease this out of you. Not good. Not good. But for the time being, is it a good idea? I don't know. I don't know. To tell. Have we been this way before? We have been this way before. So Lyndon owned, had an aircraft in his administration. Remember in the waning years of his administration, that was one of the things that was talked about. Mr. Ingram, when he came, they sold the aircraft, right? Then, from time to time, I know Mr. Ingram and Mr. Pinling would use aircrafts that were available to the defense force and the police force for transporting themselves when necessary. So, I don't know. I would go, we'll see. Ms. Tech says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I say that an additional aircraft manned by the police defense force and made available for official government use, best option, my opinion. I have no difficulty with that. I don't know, again, where justifiable and in the circumstances. A lot of things that create convenience and so forth. Is it the best decision to make? It's hard to tell sometimes when you don't have all the available information. And again, what you do, whether what you do is or not depends on your objective. Is it a laudable objective to have your government officials conveniently able to travel? Is that a laudable thing? Is that something you think is good to do? It may well be. And if then having an aircraft to do that makes that possible, then it's a good idea. This text says, Mr. Lang, how the government thinks this looks on the eyes of the people. They purchased an expensive car for the prime minister, then you want your own plane. Yeah, optics matters too. People might look at it and say, oh, that's shallow. Oh, that's just petty. No, but optics matter because the money, if some of the people have issues with the way it looks when you're doing something else, you just have to, you have to yourself decide whether that rack is sufficiently legitimate or widespread enough for you to say, you know what, maybe this isn't the best idea at all, right? So the optics can matter, that's for sure. You know, some people might ask, well, how do you do this when there are these other pressing needs that exist that people are complaining about, whether at the hospital or in the school system or the like? Again, it doesn't mean you can't do both. You can't get the aircraft and do those things. But if you're not doing both and you're not saying you're doing both, then you create a platform for these arguments to carry. And that's part of the challenge of governance very often. You know, what people think about what we do does matter. And then if you don't believe that, just ask yourself why a government does or does not say certain things, does do certain things. Well, if they didn't, if they weren't concerned about how you think about an issue, they wouldn't be concerned about whether they say it or don't say it or not. Well, but they are. Every government is. Any politician would be foolish not to think that what people think matters. Now, when you have to make fundamental decisions that you believe to be in the public's interest and notwithstanding the public outcry you believe ought to be done, then you just have to make a judgment as to whether or not you could stomach doing that. Sometimes that is what is necessary. But every politician who is a politician of any prudence is mindful of what the public thinks about what they are doing, including purchasing an aircraft, purchasing a car, purchasing a house, all these kinds of things that may come up from time to time. Again, I don't have an issue with allocating sums of money in the budget for an aircraft, an airplane. I just have an issue with why are you doing it? How do you propose to do it? And what is the analysis that it has fed your determination to do it? And why have you not just announced this? Right? I think that there is a cavalier attitude that is displayed by our administrations too often about the decisions made. That sometimes the only way we get to know is some journalist ask a question about it, and it kind of bleeds in there. Or some opposition got some leaked a document that says this is what is happening, that bleeds in there. You know, or some minister is just doing a press conference and just says, by the way, we can do this. Really? No. They just, by the way, we can do this. That kind of cavalier handling of things is what runs us into difficulty with maintaining the trust of the public. And I want to repeat what I've said oftentimes. The trust of the public of the Bahamas is no fleeting matter. It is no flimsy consideration. It is a materially important element of governance. It is the thing that allows you as government to be able to garner the cooperation of the public in the effort you make to govern. Because the more you trust someone or someone, the more you are prepared to cooperate with them. It is the thing that allows the government, in the midst of very hard and difficult times, to make tough choices. Because people look at your track record of trust and they say, you know what? I don't even understand altogether. This don't even feel good to me altogether. But the track record of trust of our institutions, of our government, has been such that I am prepared to stand down my doubts and fears and discomforts to be able to take up that they are doing the right thing as they have done in times past and are keeping us informed about what they are doing as they have done in times past and are giving us information that may be uncomfortable for them to give because it allows us to give full consideration to what they're doing as they have done before. And that allows you to govern with a level of fluidity and efficiency and effectiveness that otherwise you couldn't govern with when you do things a different way. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some other matters. We'll be back after this news break. Everybody, everybody.
Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Doctors Hospital has reimagined primary care. We have invested to improve our health system, ensuring that accessible, affordable, world-class clinical care is closer to you. We understand that your relationship with a primary care provider shapes the foundation of your overall health. Our new modern primary care facilities are where critical diagnoses and true personalized treatment begins. With locations across New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma, we invite you to experience the Doctors Hospital difference. Book your next appointment at clinics.doctorshosp.com.
We all know that our country's electricity infrastructure is decades old. It is breaking down, it is too expensive, and it cannot transmit clean energy. Small changes aren't enough. We are taking it all on. Upgrading and modernizing the grid. Solar power. Major energy reform. That's how we get to losses and more reliable electricity. It will not happen overnight, but it will be game changing.
Go to newenergyera.gov.bs to learn more.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-043. That's 439-3043. We do have some text here. Let me read for you. This text says, good day, what are you looking at? Checktradeaplane.com. Why should I look at that? To do what? What is it that you want me to do? To find and see what? I'm looking at the internet. That's the only thing I could do. There are many places and spaces on the internet that you can look for things, and maybe you found something that has something different, but what are you saying. You just asked me to ask, what am I looking at? What is the problem you have with what I said? I didn't make up anything that I said. I only read what I read. This text says, Mr. Lang, we don't know, is a giant issue. It seems to be a theme with especially this government. Literally, we're not telling you what we're doing because we don't feel like it. This text says, for $2 million, you can get you a lot of plane, and if they succeed, they are not getting bang for a buck. Okay, so what kind of plane are you going to end up with? $2.5 million. A Boeing? A 16-seater, 15-seater? What? Tell me, please. You have the information. Tell us. This text says, Mr. Lang, shouldn't the substantive minister mention the purchase of such an expensive item? Well, it isn't expensive, according to some people. In fact, it's not a lot of money to spend on an aircraft. It's a lot of money, depending on who you are, what you need, or what you think money as, how you see money as. But in the context of government, $2.5 million, in the context of buying a plane, okay. So what if the opposition did not question the reason for the unexplained line item? They would have purchased the aircraft without saying a word to the public. This speaks volumes for transparency and accountability, and I think that's the point that I made, which is that you run into that issue with people when you cover a budget debate, you have an item for the purchase of a plane, and no one mentions it, not even the minister responsible with the line item in his budget. Anyways, I want to go on to something else. Prime Minister is quoted as saying in the by the way, I didn't want y'all to think I was unaware. I was quite aware of Mr. Ingram's health scare, as somebody put it. And I spoke to Mr. Ingram today. He seemed like 100% of Mr. Ingram I know, very upbeat, quite jovial. He told me how things evolved, and he's in good spirits. He's supposed to be released today, according to him. And so I was very comforted by the fact that in speaking to him, he sounded so much like himself and was in such good spirits. And so God bless him and his family, and gratefully and thankfully, things did not turn out worse than they were, and he seems to be on his way toward good mending. We have a call on the thing.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
As I was saying, Mr. Ingram seems to be, he was in good spirits, and I understand now, I see somebody sent me something saying he was in fact discharged, and that he expressed his gratitude to the team of doctors for the hard work and to everyone who prayed for his full recovery. Yeah, so that's what I was saying. Okay, go ahead, Carla, we're listening to you.
Afternoon, Eli.
Hi, what's up?
Man, everything good. Yeah, I don't know, for me personally, right? I have no problem about the government trying to acquire an airplane for them to move around on the islands and everything to do their business. But that's the problem I have with. I wonder if this administration and previous administration know what the word priority is. Mm. I wonder if they need to Google the word priority or look in the dictionary for the word. Let me see why I say that. 2 months ago or 3 months ago, we had wildfire in Freeport, Abaco, and here in New Providence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Abaco, Scott Thompson was forming a human chain with 5 10-5-gallon bucket of water, took it from the well to the people's yard, trying to fire them from destroying the residents, them houses. Fire is coming too close up on one or two. So the residents had to form a human chain. Or I see Roscoe Thompson them and another fella pulling one pressure cleaner machine or one pump, filling it up with water and bringing it to the fire, using garden holes and things like that and pump it out. Then about a year ago, a gentleman got shot in Abaco. They needed to carry the gentleman to the clinic. They threw the gentleman on the back of a 150 truck on Cam. They had a serious accident in Exuma, Elutra. People needed to get to the clinic. They threw them on the back of a Chevy truck or a 150 truck. What I'm saying, right? I don't have no problem with Governor Raffening. He was a leader at this time, and that just happened about 2 months ago. What I had to do, I had to say, this $5 million put aside, allocated to buy 2 ambulances and 2 fire engines for all of these all these far old islands, one in the central or one in the north, one in the south, in case something happens, they can, because them islands big and long, you lose 110 miles long, to be able to get to the scene. So that's what I do. I put $5 million or $10 million on the side, put ambulance and fire engine on all these islands. In 2024, we shouldn't have no people forming human chain with 5-gallon bucket, the old fire, from destroying a whole settlement.
Wow.
I think the variety of priority, I think that's more important right now at this time. Then I'm going to do that for all of my old islands. Then I consider getting one plane or something. See, right now, they only thinking with themselves. They won't fly Bahamas here with the regular citizens. That's where they should be, because that's where all their constituents is. You can socialize with people on Bahamas here and get to find out what's going on in their constituency or what's going on in the thing, but they self done think for the Bahamian people. That's what I would do. I would get fire engine and ambulance. What do you think?
Well, I think you make a doggone good point. That's all
I
can say.
Priority, that's like doggone. A priority, man.
And not only the examples you indicated, actually the Prime Minister went to a conference and he said to the people at the conference that the Bahamas is on fire.
Right. He said that. I remember that.
Right.
And in 2024, we gotta form a human chain now with 5-gallon buckets to try all the fire from wiping out a whole settlement. I watched on the news, you saw close the fire was to the back of them people those in Andres. So, and in 2002, we don't have a sensible ambulance on them islands, not a sensible fire engine.
And see, the thing about it is, it isn't saying you can't buy the aircraft. It's that, say, I'm buying this aircraft, but by the way, here's $10 million we put away because we're going to purchase an ambulance for this place. We're going to purchase a fire engine for this place and so forth and so forth. So that
exactly. Put the Bahamian people first. Let's wipe it out. We'll just deal with Bahamas here for now. That's like, human people.
Yeah.
When she gonna get these islands them set up, they put new clinics and new airport down there. What if a tourist get knocked down then? We can throw the tourists on the back of one F-150 truck and speed them up by the clinic. That's what we can do.
Well, I can't argue with your point. I can't.
Yeah, my priority. This administration, they don't give a priority. They look in the dictionary and see the word priority mean, man. We could use the aircraft to fly them around, but we don't need it now. Fire engine and ambulance is more important.
And you have people who have been complaining excessively about the limited number of dialysis machines in the country.
Exactly. And colonoscopy machines in the country for all the people who are on them. So an aircraft or just that, and then with a device like it, $250 million. How much dialysis machine like it get? How much colonoscopy machine like it get? How much fire engine and ambulance like it get? Now, they said they were in 4 or 5. At least two ambulances and 2 fire. They don't fire and go up by the 500, but $500,000 apiece. But at least they get one. We can stop it on the 2 islands. Or, like we say, they said, Mr. Lumber, we ain't got to borrow the money. But take $10 million cash, put it aside, and give our people some ambulances and some fire. Mr. Prime Minister.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I still come in the business. Lula, I the power but I still come in the business, your boss.
Yeah, man. Very cool. All the time. All right. Yeah, that's not a insignificant point he made at all. This text says, you can get a Cessna Citation jet or a Learjet with at least 16 seats. But if you are using this plane for family island travel, a turboprop is a better investment. And you're saying you can get that plane, the Cessna Citation jet or Learjet, for $2.5 million, the 16-seater. That's what you're saying. But you're saying if you get that, that's not the best thing to be flying up and down the family islands. Okay. All right. Great. So I'm listening to you. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good day, Mr. Lang. Minister Lang.
Hey, what's happening?
How are you doing?
Good, man. I'm good. Thank you.
It really seems like listening to the budget, and I know they said it's the new day, the government budget. They priority saying about us.
Mm.
Some of the things inside the budget is very good, need to be done, and it's always room for improvement.
Mm-hmm.
But to think about it, I mean, it's kind of for. Sorry to put all the weight on him, but he's the all-star, and he's one of us who know what it is to come from humble beginnings, know what the people going through, and any things I listen to, it don't sound like they connecting with us like.
But Papa, let me ask you though. But let me ask you a question seriously, and I'm being dead serious.
Yes, sir.
Are the people of the Bahamas going through something?
If we going through something?
Yeah, I'm asking you. We are told that our economy is doing well.
Boy.
Right? You know, unemployment is down.
I hear what the people
say. Record levels of tourism, tourist numbers, etc. are happening. So I'm asking you, you know, because sometimes maybe
what you are thinking
is not what what the government is saying.
It's obvious. It seems like it's that. That is not what they're saying. Yes, we're going through something. Some people say it's self-inflicted inflation.
Mm.
You know, it's something to do with inflation also. And decisions with the government doing with our funds. It's like they can find more things. You're talking about, like you talk about the dialysis machine. The teachers asking for it. The doctors them. We need fire-engine ambulance. My goodness. That's why I tell you, this Brave Davis, who is the Prime Minister today, for us who know him over the years, we kind of should disappoint it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I sound like, you know, I'm making it personal or something. It's just he is the Prime Minister, and he's the Minister of Finance, and someone who we expect better from. What I wanted to find him from you, right?
Mm.
Quickly. You know this MOU with these unions to sign off with? With the PLP government before they became the government.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, what is an MOU? If you, like, register it and all that, like how I think I hear the president or one of those, Mr. Ferguson, say, is it possible if one end don't live up to the bargain that the next end could take them to court and maybe
That's actually a good question because the question is...
I get another one, please, and I like to hang up and listen. You see this thing the Prime Minister say, when the ink dry, we can go. Oh, so that's... I would have just wait till the ink dry and say it. And this is not about that word, what they call transparency and all of that, man. With letting the people know what you're doing and listening to the people and getting their advice before you have to go back and backtrack something or get a hold, maybe some people say a good government or good, get a hold of decisions which you make. This deal with BPL, I think the people on the family and Acklands and all that stuff, they ain't into us talking, fooling us, asking all of these questions right now. They just want their light bill to go down and their light bill to stay on. But what is the penalty if the government changes? I shouldn't say if, when the government changes. What will be the penalty if the new government decide to break the deal? They say 25 years, not take a 5 years trial and then maybe if everything can continue to say 25 years. If the new government decide that what they want, like how, Mr. Davis, anyhow, what do you do? do you have any information? What is the penalty? Did they let us know that yet? Or the ink ain't dry yet, like Prime Minister Davis said? I'll hang up and listen. Keep up the good work, Minister.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Well, you know, the question is really, what is the legal footing of an MOU? And I don't think it's much, right? It's just an understanding between the government and an entity. And so what the breach of that means for the entity, the government is not trustworthy, and therefore they just know what to do, how to deal with the government going forward. But I don't think it has any impact. Otherwise, why sign a contract? If the MOU was enough, why sign a contract, right? You could just rely on the MOU. So I don't know that that has any legal footing that you could take the government to court for breaching the MOU on. Insofar as if they sign a deal, if it's 25 years, it's no different than the Oxford Creek Agreement, no different than the Arawak Port Development Agreement that the government signed under the Ingram administration, any other government, you breach your obligation. A party has a right to go to court and claim damages, or arbitration and claim damages, and the penalty is whatever the damages is assessed at the end of the day if you win your case before whoever you are appealing your matter or pledging or putting your matter to. So can the government break it? You can break anything, but the consequences may be harsh for doing so. And so obviously government, the deals that are signed even by another administration. Steps aside, Shivago, always an interesting and lively show. I can understand the need for a plane to some degree, but timing is everything. NIV is on life support, and breadbasket items are now luxury items. No working fire trucks or on family islands. Healthcare facilities antiquated. Right now, the optics seem like a non-caring government. More concerned about flying high. Just my thought. Yeah. That's a challenge. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Man, I'm here. I'm holding, as Draven would say, I'm holding.
Okay.
I wanted to know, whose responsibility was it to bring this item to the public or to the debate? Does it
whoever's budget the
right.
item was in, and my understanding was it was either an OPM or the Ministry of Finance. I could only see an acquisition like that being made to either OPM or the Ministry of Finance.
Okay, because I think Mr. Lundy was the one who was answering the question.
Yeah, he's the Minister of State in OPM, is he not?
Right.
Yeah.
So this should have come out under his presentation?
His or the Prime Minister's. Either one of them could have mentioned it.
Okay. I just want to know whose responsibility was it to...
At the end of the day, every item in the budget is the responsibility of the Minister of Finance.
Right.
Because he is the one who is going before his colleagues in Parliament and submitting proposed estimates of revenue and expenditure.
Okay.
So he is ultimately responsible for the items there. When the Parliament approves Minister of Finance to spend the money.
Okay.
And I can tell you what happens. This literally happens. The Minister of Finance signs a warrant for, say, $3 billion, authorizing that expenditure to be made by all these other ministries.
Oh, wow.
I have signed such a warrant.
Heavy the head that wears the crown.
Very heavy.
I want to know, but like one other thing, because I was trying to find out from last year. I went on the government website trying to find, but I wasn't successful. Could you remember, could you find it for me? What was the government's revenue projection for last year, for the 2023-24 budget?
I don't remember the exact figure, but I do. I can tell you that the government actually exceeded its revenue forecast
for
last year. Yeah,
it did.
It did. Yeah, it did.
Because okay, I mean, I thought it was in the region of some 3 point something billion, or was it 2 point something? I mean,
no, it was 2 point something. It was 2 point something billion.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 2 point something billion. But I can certainly get that information for you. We could revisit it and see what the specific numbers were.
All right. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Anytime. Anytime. Ladies and gentlemen, do we have another call on the line? No? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, pay our respects to our great sponsors. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Looking for a breakfast that will wake up your taste buds and kickstart your day? Well, Burger King NASA has got you covered with the new Angry Crust Sandwich. Made with fluffy eggs, melted cheese, jalapenos, a spicy sore bacon on a warm croissant. Make it a combo and add our signature hash browns and your choice of coffee, tea, or orange juice for a great way to start your day. Spice up your breakfast with the new Angry Crust Sandwich combo only at Burger King NASA.
I mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good.
Bahamas Liquidation and Auction Center, your friendly and affordable vendor one-stop shop, where you can get all of your groceries, kids' lunch snacks, and vendor snacks items at the best prices in town. Don't believe us? Find us on Mackey Street in the red, white, and black building south of Chesapeake Road. We don't stock anything. We just buy deals, so you better get there first. Call us today at 698-0123 or WhatsApp 557-2522 or follow us on Facebook and Instagram for daily updates. Remember, always make us your first stop.
Doctors Hospital has reimagined primary care. We have invested to improve our health system. Accessible, affordable, world-class clinical care is closer to you. We understand that your relationship with a primary care provider shapes the foundation of your overall health. Our new modern primary care facilities are where critical diagnoses and true personalized treatment begins. With locations across New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma, we invite you to experience the Doctors Hospital difference. Book your next appointment at clinics.doctorshosp.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the
breaking out of this cage.
I'm standing up, I'ma face my demons. I'm manning up, I'ma hold my ground. I've had enough, now I'm so fed up. Time to put my life back together.
I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust, again, that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can text us on the 4224796, 4224796, or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. That's 439. Well, we talked about the airplane and some other matters. One of the things that that caught my attention today too was the Prime Minister indicated that soon there should be a sale for the Alukaya property. He said, well, his words were that there will likely be a sale for the property very soon. So, to me, that wasn't fraught with all the certainty that I'm sure people in Grand Bahama would love to have in order to feel some more energy about what is possible for Grand Bahama. But that is what he indicated. For it, I said to myself that this is interesting. Because in May of 2022, I think it was May 11, 2022, a news article reported that from the Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister of Tourism and the Minister responsible for investment indicated that a sale had been agreed for the property Alukaya, for $100 million. I recall the thunderous applause that were done in the House of Assembly when that announcement was made, because I think the government was boasting at the time, too, that that sale represented an appreciation in the value of the property in terms of what was to be received compared to the purchase price that had been the property. And there was a great deal of celebration around that. That's May 2022. We passed through May 2023, which is 1 year. We passed through May 2024, which is 2 years, and onward. And there has been no fulsome revisiting of that particular announcement to say the deal fell through, and this is the reason why. And this to me is how we govern. Now, again, don't get mad with me. I'm not saying this is how the Davis administration governed. I'm saying that too many of our administration, not all our, right, but too many of them, tend to announce things, and then if it doesn't happen, have no, not coming back to the Bahamian public and saying, you know, we made an announcement that there was a sale agreed for Grand Lucaya. Here is what happened, because that sale will no longer be consummated. To this day, to this very day, there is not an announcement saying that former $100 million sale has not been consummated, will not be consummated. And I think we should do differently. I think we should do better than that. I think we owe it to the public to do better than that. Every single administration, I don't care if it was Finland, Christie, Ingram, Davis, Minnis, every single one of them owes to the Bahamian public this. I made an announcement in March of last year that this would happen. It has not happened, and it will not happen, and here are the reasons why. Again, why do you do it? Because it builds trust. It builds confidence in the institutions. This is not about, listen, if you build trust in the institutions, you build trust in government, you get that credit as an administration, and then you get the vote. Listen, man, if you do good, you should get elected over and repeatedly. If you do good enough, you should get elected over and repeatedly. I agree with that. The only way you somebody else does gets elected is if they can but put an offer on the table for the public that it sounds a lot better than yours. Sounds like. And then if they come in and do much better, then they should get elected over and repeatedly if the public is pleased with them, right? But we don't do that. So now we don't know what happened to the $100 million deal, but the prime minister said, very likely. And then when he was asked about the more details, you know what he said? Stay tuned. Isn't it true that the public has been staying tuned for 2+ years now on an announcement that was made? 2+ years. See, let me tell you something. The Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And that's what happens to people when they constantly featured with announcements that don't pan out and nobody comes back and course corrects about it. This text says, as a citizen of the country, I take grave exception to the PM's arrogant statement that he made. I am not going to answer you. Man, it's not what you say, and we are not prepared to answer you today. Please tell Mr. Davis who does he think he is. The administration must realize that they are servants of the people. It is the people's money. They are accountable to the people and on how they spend the people's money. Please, someone let Mr. Davis know that it's the people's money and it's his responsibility to be transparent, honest, truthful as to how the money is spent. Answer the question and don't come with a cocky, arrogant statement. I see where... I giant stuff. If you are not prepared to answer the question posed by the opposition or any other citizen on how you are spending the people's money, then you need to resign and return to being a private citizen and go spend your money just how you want to, with no questions asked, said that extra. Okay. This text says, funding government travel. You would think they would wait a bit before trying to purchase a plane. Nonetheless, with advanced communication technologies so readily available, the government would have been praised if they had announced a push for more Skype, Teams, Zoom, etc. solutions. Save on travel and divert that money to more pressing items. Okay. This text says, good afternoon, sir. In my opinion, the government of the Bahamas should have a private airline, but I believe the timing is off. Mr. Lang, I listened to Mr. Bell during his contribution to the budget debate, and he stated that the former administration stole all NIB foreign shares, such as Apple, Facebook, Wells Fargo, et cetera. As former finance minister, what will make a government sell such valuable shares? Sold them. He meant sold. I don't know, but you have to see. First of all, I don't know why it is the government's decision as to what NIB holds or does not hold. If NIB has a board, and the board has professional investment advisors, then NIB's shares should be allocated. NIB's funds should be allocated for investments in accordance with an investment committee of the board, populated with professional investment people. So maybe they felt like the shares weren't productive, because you can have shares that are only appreciating in value, but not giving you dividends. NIB needs dividends. It needs income to the fund to be able to service its obligations to its pensioners and others. So maybe they felt like that was the case, but I don't know what the details of that particular consideration. My statement in the debate when we come back from this final break. You're listening to Z Live, I'm Chicago Line. We'll be back after this final break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? We are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge, so we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Dunkin' lovers,
are you ready to fly away this summer? Dunkin' has an irresistible offer just for you. During the month of June, every purchase of a dozen donuts at Dunkin' enters you for a chance to win big in the Father's Day flyaway. Two lucky winners will jet off on Bahamas Air with round-trip tickets to any Bahamas Air destination. Dads flying on Bahamas Air on Father's Day receive a special Dunkin' treat. Visit Dunkin' today and enter to win in the Father's Day flyaway. The Bahamas flies on Dunkin'.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come on this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. If you want in these last minutes to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So, Mr. Bell, the minister, gave a very robust political case for his administration, especially in trying to point out the failings of the former administration. As the Guardian pointed out, he spent a lot of time on that substantial amount of time on that. He was really the attack dog for the administration. And I don't mean that in any, that's what we say in politics, you're the attack dog. You know, you're that person, they put you on people, right? And he went hard at the former administration. And I have no difficulty with that, because that's part and parcel of the politics. You end the business as the business, right? But his arguments about the former administration on economic grounds and policy decisions of what have you, I thought was entirely off. Really off. I mean, it almost smacked of ignoring that there was actually a pandemic across the world. it ignored the realities that confronted countries around the world and all of the shutting, the turning down of economies, and all of that meant for a government. I mean, to argue that revenue fell off and deficits broadened and all that kind of stuff, it's like, honestly, that's crazy talk. In a pandemic, in the Great Recession, that's crazy talk to ignore that stuff. I mean, when you have a world that decides, we don't really know what this thing is, we're going to shut down. I mean, the United States of America, a lot of states shut people in. Many countries shut people in. Okay, so some countries did do it, but many countries didn't. They didn't know. It was a judgment call. Well, once you decide to do that, the revenue isn't going to flow. And if the revenue doesn't flow and your expenditure continues as was, what do you think is going to happen to the deficit? It's going to explode. We experienced that during the Great Recession as well. And if the deficit explodes, what do you think is going to happen to GDP? I mean, to the national debt? It's going to increase. And if the national debt is increasing, but the economy isn't growing, what do you think is going to happen to the debt-to-GDP ratio? It's going to rise above 100%. That's not rocket science. That is a fact of life that follows from very natural processes. Come on, man. You have to know that is so. That's not a policy choice or a bad judgment issue. It's a consequence of a unknown that many, many, many countries embraced and found themselves in difficulty as a consequence of it. Right? So to argue life about the economy under the Venice administration, the government's finances under the administration without allowing substantially for that reality tells me that you are not prepared to have an objective discussion about what has happened in this country. You're not. And I'm sorry, I listened to that logic and that rationale and that presentation with great pain. I did. Because we can do better for the Bahamian people so that they can understand. See, while you are scoring political points, you are undermining the governance machinery. You are undermining the extent to which having your people understand how things work helps you later on when you're confronting similar issues. But no, that's not just the minutes administration made and the discharge the minutes administration made. And Dr. Minnis and them had choices and decisions made that you can actually absolutely argue with. There's no question about that. But the ones that resulted in the economic circumstances that we experienced during the pandemic were not among those choices in the main. They were not. Any administration would have been confronted with the same thing, confronted with the very same challenges, right? And it's easy to be Monday morning quarterbacking, talking about, oh, you would have done this and done that, and then the next thing, well, you wasn't there. You weren't there. And you ain't know what you would have done, right? You're not the economist and the economic brain in the world and the planet. They had economists guiding and directing them. A lot of the countries did too. And they all did the same thing. Most did the same thing. Why were you going to be so much more brilliant? On Monday morning, yeah. But on Sunday when the game was being played, it might have been a different story. Call me who you want. I honestly don't care. But what I care about is people in this country understanding. That's what I care about. I really do. I care about that. If their understanding leads to them beating up on the FNL, God bless them. If their understanding means them beating up on the PLP, God bless them. If their understanding leads to them praising the FNL, God bless them. If their understanding leads to them praising the PLP, God bless them. I really don't care. But I want them to be clear and to understand how things work. And to take the pandemic and ignore the substantial realities of the pandemic and how it affected and impacted our fiscal circumstances. Listen to me, folks. Not much has changed about the economic and fiscal and monetary policy of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, even since the last election. Do you want me to say it again? Look at your investment policy. Look at your economic policies. Look at the tax and spend policy of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Look at the monetary policy of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas anchored in a fixed exchange rate regime, and tell me how much has changed since September 2021. Well, if not much has changed, but your economy has improved because you opened it back up, what does that tell you? What does that tell you? An economy that opened up before the election, what does that tell you? It tells you that the country's economic and fiscal circumstance situation was largely about an event outside of the country that affected how we did business in the country. And that cannot be discounted. You cannot make light of that and be a serious commentator on economic and fiscal affairs in the country. You cannot be. You have to be either grossly, partisanly focused or something else. And I thought in listening, granted a robust defense of his administration and what they were doing, I thought that element of his presentation was woefully difficult to listen to. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabagal. I'm your host. So glad you could join us here today. God bless you, and all goes well. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.